Okay, let's start with a word prayer, shall we? Dear Lord Jesus, come before you to worship you this morning. Whether or not we are prepared, or our hearts are focused and ready to come to worship you, well, you know that already. And regardless of the state that we are in, where you are the Almighty, you are still our everlasting Father, gracious King. And we want to lift your name on high. We want to focus on who you are, what you have done, and what you will do. And because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we praise you, we worship you, we invite you into our space this morning, and we ask you to teach us, to encourage us, that your word will penetrate us and help us and do something in our state of mind and in our families and our church. Thank you, and pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Who had a chance this week to kind of go through this? If you guys had your link, you did? Okay, that's good. So maybe we will have some deeper discussion if you guys have gone through it a little bit. We're going into miracles. Today is Genesis, of course, the first miracle. And this is what I got. This is the question I asked. And generally, I never thought creation would generate this kind of question. But this is what we're going today. How do you stay hopeful when a situation seems hopeless? Well, why don't we open up our Bibles and have someone just read Genesis chapter 1. It's in the beginning. And 1 to 3. Let me just read that.
I'll read. Genesis chapter 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." Excuse me. And there was light.
Thank you. So we're going to go through these three verses today. And from these three verses, from this section, we'll see that God is the God of the first. He's the one who creates the first. We'll see how he kind of mothers us. Okay, and I'll explain that a little further, and we'll see how Jesus introduces himself. So we have God, the Spirit, and Jesus all in the same section. And how does this miracle give us hope? Okay? All right. So God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you don't know by now, I really like word studies. That's all I do. I think the word studies, if you're studying the Bible, you go into the word, it's going to interpret itself for you. So I always like word studies. So I go into, in the beginning, right? In the beginning is the first Rashid, the beginning, the first of its kind, its firstborn, the beginning. Usually it's used beginning of a kingdom. And in this section right here, I actually had the opportunity to speak to he's a theologian of the Old Testament. And when I spoke to him, he was spending the past 5 years on this section. I was like, wow, is there that much to talk about? He said, there is. I said, okay. And one thing that he explained to me was that in the beginning, the is can equally be interpreted as in a beginning. And that opens a whole new door. It's not the beginning of nothing. In a beginning, there was something already there. We don't know because God doesn't say, and we don't need to know. But that means there was something there, right? Because that's God is hovering over the waters. That means there's waters there already. What was going on before? Don't know. But we have a good clue as we study a little bit more. But it's the first of its kind. God introduces, in the first of its kind, God is introducing something that is the first of a new kingdom. I thought that was interesting. And God created the heavens, right? Bara, you saw that if you read ahead. Humans may make, they may form, they may build, which we do all day long, but only God, bara something, only he creates something that is impossible. It's not even out of nothing. It's out of something that it's dead, and he brings it to life. Only God can bara something. So my question was, do you think God is able to bara something new, or that is the first of its kind in a person's life? The answer is probably yes, but can you think about a time? Do you have anything to say about this? Have you experienced something where God brought something new, first of its kind in your life? Like, whoa, this never happened to me before. Do we generally carry that hope that, you know, when something that you don't think likely will happen, but you believe that God is able to? Is that the general posture that we have?
You asked, is that the general posture that we have as what people as?
As people with faith, as Christians. Or do you think, like, you know, life's going to go as is most of the time, and we're saved, but it's going to be pretty much the same. Not that it's not okay for that to happen. But what's the general posture do you think that you have, if you're not willing to share maybe the general believer?
I don't know if this answers your question, but I was thinking when you said like first, I was thinking like first love.
Oh, yeah.
Like first, like, their first, usually it's the context of like other sex kind of love. Like, my first love is like, is this person thinking about me? Like, I'm thinking about her. And like, you know, like that first exciting kind of like, it's different, it's new.
Yes.
And like, I mean, our first love for God too. But it's like the beginning of something. You know?
Yeah.
Beginning is always exciting.
Right. Yeah. And if we're believers, this actually happened, right? Because you were not a believer before, I think. And then something of a beginning happened. And that's what you're talking, referring to, the first love. In your, can you recall your first love? Something that's brand new that God brought about, He brought into your life, which you never experienced before. If you can recall that, that's probably a good place to start. And can He do that again of other things in your life?
I think there's always that, you know, kind of cliche. I mean, it's not cliche, you know, in itself, but because we use it so much, the verse, like, that we're a new creation, right, when we're
mm-hmm.
saved. I think that's very powerful. But I do think, you know, as you said, we should have all experienced that as we were saved. But I do think that God does do it, continue that in our life
mm-hmm.
as well. You know, I think I'm experiencing that now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I think for me, the way I'm experiencing that is the, you know, almost, you know, looking at your picture. I mean, or just, it's like, at least in my life, I don't think it's that way for everyone, but like, it has to, God has shown me that He has to start over, right? Like, He has to start with a clean slate.
Oh yeah, that's kind of,
you
this
know,
is the beginning of a
the
clean
beginning,
slate, right?
Yeah, it's like,
oh, yeah, yeah, there you go.
No, it's
all
like,
murky.
Nothing,
it's all murky right now.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like there's nothing already in existence. He's basically shown me, like, I can't, like, your pre-existing material is not
yeah.
usable by me. Like,
right.
I can't recycle anything. I can't reuse anything. I'm going to start over, and that means I'm tearing everything down and
yeah.
starting over, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's how He's created something new for me. And I think it's a slow and sometimes hard process, but at least for me, it's, yeah, I think that's how He's worked.
Thank you for sharing. You know, it's, as you're sharing, I was thinking, it's so important for someone to share and be transparent in that way, because that makes the class, right? Because if you're not sharing, trust me, by me just guys spewing information, you're not going to enjoy it, and I actually don't. I like conversations. That's what I thrive on. That's why I moved us into our living room, not my living room, a living room. Thank you, Arthur. Right? Did you led the charge to, but yeah, this is a space for conversation, not for me to just, so thank you for sharing. And then as you were sharing, I was just telling Rebs this week that, gosh, I have to lead a class on hope and Genesis, and I do not feel that at this moment. It was like on a Wednesday or Thursday. I said, I don't know what it is. Is it just so that much harder when you have to lead something that week about hope, and then you feel hopeless? Like, I feel hopeless. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to teach you about hope. but that's how I felt. I feel like God is taking away something in my life, starting from a blank canvas, and I'm like, I have to believe He's doing something new. I don't have a choice. Because if I don't believe He's doing something new, then I stay here in that murky place. I have to believe it. That's the faith. My faith has to go forward. Otherwise, it's going to stay in the state. And I'll tell you what the state is. Right? Right here. My favorite word when I was... my absolute favorite word... in the Jewish tohu wabohu. The tohu wabohu. So when I think of Genesis, I don't, when anyone refers to Genesis chapter 1, for, you know, I'm like, the formless and the void, right? Don't, I'm gonna change it up for you guys. Never read the English, it's so boring. But it's, the earth was tohu wabohu. Okay, that means it's just, it's already in a state of vainness, and it's not just blank, it's evil. This state of form and void means vain. It means in 1 Samuel, it's the same word, do not turn aside from empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. This state was not conducive to anything good, to life, to anything that's positive. It was tohu wabohu. It's a wasteland. It was, according to the theologian I talked to, there was a battle there, and it's a wasteland. There was a previous battle-ish event that happened, and it was a wasteland. It was not good for living, for life, or goodness, right? And then Hosek is the darkness, right? In the darkness, these are all three different words that's telling you about death, about vain, about emptiness. And that's what God is doing, right? That he's coming into a dark situation, not only physically, but spiritually. He already tells us in Genesis, this is what I'm about. I'm coming to a dark situation that has no hope. And he sends his spirit, the Ruach, the wind. That's what it means in Hebrew. The spirit is God's breath. God's wind comes over the waters, which already is in existence. Okay? So he's hovering over the waters. And can someone read Deuteronomy 32:11, get a better idea of what this hovering means?
Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions.
Pinions. I didn't know what pinions were, but I think it's just its back, its wings. Other translations have other, has much better translated pinions. I don't know why ESV chose pinions. I don't even know what pinions are. But that's what the spirit is doing. It flutters, it's fluttering, it's hovering. And you look into it, it's brooding. What's brooding? I asked this question to Rebs too. Well, what's brooding? Does anyone know what brooding is? Oh, I have it right here. It's like trying to hatch eggs. That's what birds do. So God comes to a hopeless situation that profits nothing, that's vain, that's empty. He comes in and he mothers. You know, he's fluttering over it, just like the eagle, right? And I was, of course, I wanted to know what fluttering means.
You caught it on camera.
I caught it on camera. I caught it on camera. It's
on the motion of a camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean camera. You're like this.
Right. I'm like this. Oh, I thought too much about it. We're talking about, again, Okay. Yeah, caught it on camera, okay. Blue eggs.
It's in your backyard.
I have to be very quiet, by the way. Don't scare away.
It's a long time.
we're not going to watch 10 minutes of this. Thank you. Where'd you go? Oh, it's coming back. Anyway, that's the idea, right? But it's interesting that the Bible uses the word flutter, hovering, which is a bird, the motion of a bird. And the Holy Spirit is like a dove. But that's what God does. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is that he comes to this place and he hovers over the, you know, in this case, the young that's trying to grow, right? There's this sense that it was nothing, now it's something, but it's hatching something new, and it this newness requires care and protection, and the Spirit comes and protects it so that as it's growing, it's not going to be harmed until the hatchlings, right, can fly on its own. So it's that concept. And I ask, like, what are some dead areas in our lives that the Spirit wants to revive? That's maybe for you to answer on your own. Are there any dead areas in your lives that the Spirit wants to revive? Because that's what the Spirit does. He comes and he mothers over that situation, because that's what God does, even in the beginning of this miracle. And what does it mean to invite the Spirit into a situation? How do you do that? Now, if you have some of these things in your lives, you certainly want and need the Spirit to come in to do what he did with these waters, right? The darkness and the tohu wabohus. Any you guys online? Sometimes I forget about you guys, but you guys are here. I see it. You're in front of me. So feel free to share too. How would you invite? What does it mean to invite the Spirit into a situation in your life?
I think you have to probably, you know, the first thing is you know, being open to having the Spirit convict you, right? Like the first thing is just knowing, like, what are the dead areas in our life? Sometimes we don't even see it, we don't even know it, you know? And it's just being humble and asking God, what are those areas?
Yeah.
You know? And how can you help me revive that?
Yeah. Sometimes it's just taking inventory of certain situations in our lives, the dead areas.
I think we're glad that once we said that we believe in Christ, and Christ gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to reveal to us, and to be more like Him, and He helped us to revive our life in whenever that we got into a dead area in our life, in every day, every moment.
and then to ask him to come, right? Ask him to come, yeah. And that's what Peter was talking about, to be open, to ask the Holy Spirit, hey, come into this dead area, which is probably sometimes the hardest to really face, right? But being surrendered enough to say, God, I need you to come to this dead area.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe dead area, maybe a little too strong.
Too strong.
Okay. I'm thinking.
Okay.
He likes like kind of dead.
Yeah, you know, like,
little half dead area.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe it's areas where you're wounded.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like you're wounded, you're hurt, you're crippling, it's chaotic. Like, you know what you said, right? Like,
yeah.
It's a chaotic waste void, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's chaotic. It's just that you need the Spirit, you know, to help in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. To put order or,
yeah,
heal. Yeah.
I think that, like, so you asked, like, what does it mean, right? That your earlier question, your first question was actually, we didn't have a lot of conversation about that, right? Which is like, do you have the faith? Do you believe that God is able to bara, right? To do something that only He can do that is new in a person's life? And I was still thinking about that, right? Even when Cindy was answering that. I do see, like, yes, I agree with her too. I see what God's doing in my life, but you asked a question that says, do people in general, right, like believers, I think that you're referring to, truly believe? That God is able to do something that only He can do to make new an area of their life, right? The first of its kind. I was going to answer you on that because I have a suspicion and I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of believers that struggle to have that faith. I think there's like a lot of believers that it may not even be, as Peter said, like a wound or a hurt or something that's like chaotic right now. I think that there are areas in believers' lives that are like dead, that are not seeing like life, the life of Christ, the life of the Spirit. You know, everywhere that we read in the scripture, the Spirit has to do with words like regeneration, renewal, right? When we look at the book of Acts, right? Who is it the Acts of? Right? People say it's called the Acts of the Apostles, but it's actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah.
That's actually what the Acts is, right?
That's actually what it is.
Well, people call it the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And there's so much life, there's so much transformation, there's so much being made new. And it was after, you know, all the stuff that we read in Mark, the betrayals, the denials of Jesus and the disciples, just it wasn't until they received the Spirit that all the transformation of their life occurred. But I think that the issue that a lot of believers have, and me sometimes included, is that do I really have that faith that God is able? Like this dead area of my life, this area that's not that. Yeah, I can track with dead, you know, like, you know, I think of people, I think of myself, areas where like, I don't know, man, that, you know, could God actually like do something new in that? And it actually comes down to like, it's a faith issue. It actually goes back to the first question. So you wouldn't invite the Spirit into a situation if you didn't really believe,
yeah,
that the Spirit of God can actually do something. Like,
right. So a non-believer would never go to God.
No, I'm
right.
Not even talking about non-believer. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about
right.
Believers who are like, I don't really believe that the Holy Spirit who lives in me, that's an issue too. Like, do you really believe that the Spirit is in you, has that power and desire and is hovering like a mother to like bring life into an area of my life that's like dying or dead. Dying is that word, wounded maybe, but like dead. Some people have like dead areas of their life that they haven't seen movement, progress, life in like years.
Yeah.
And I think the question actually goes back to the first one. You wouldn't invite the spirit into that situation unless you really believed. And you're asking in faith, like, I believe you can bring life into this area of my life. And I have a suspicion that there's a lot of, like, believers. There's a lot of believers who don't have that faith that God desires to or can or will really do that new work in their life.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it kind of goes back to the first question, because I was going to talk about it then, but then you moved on and it's cool. You know, I'm kind of going with the flow, but you know, when you asked this part, then to me, really the first step is, or the first movement is to actually believe. Like, God, you want to do something new in my life. You desire that. You want to heal this dead part of my life. Like, I do not like this part of my life. I've not seen movement in it. Right? I haven't seen life in it.
Yes.
Forever. It's kind of like, I remember when I can stop there. No.
It's okay. Yeah.
I have an example of that. Mm-hmm. I think you brought up different thing that I was thinking about is like, I'll just share from my example. Is like, one area of that was dead in my life was evangelism, and I was thinking about this maybe 6 months ago when we're teaching. I was teaching the missions thing, and it's like, well, I teach about missions, but in this area of my life, evangelism, like, yeah, I'm friendly with my neighbors and my coworkers, but do I actively preach the gospel to them? And I felt like, no. And it's like, it was kind of really shameful for me, like, for myself.
Right, and when you're teaching the class.
I was, right. I was teaching this class, and I was like, I was recognizing I was dead in this area. And it's kind of like your picture of the cosmos. Like, the ingredients were there. There was something there, but it was formless and void. It had no purpose, right? And so I started praying about it, and, you know, I think asking the Holy Spirit to come in, and like, he brought this Afghan family, like, in relationship, and like, opportunities opened up, and it's like sharing the gospel with them, and like, talking Bible story, and like, things that haven't happened in, like you said, years, like, dead for years, right? But I think the Holy Spirit was working through that. And it doesn't have to be evangelism, it could be many things. It could be like, your Bible reading, your prayer life, your relationship with your spouse, your kids. Like, there's many, I agree with you, there's many areas, I think, in a believer's life that are simply dead.
Yeah.
If we actually are honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing.
there was an instance, like, when I was young in my faith, and I was like, first love, and I was like, excited. And I just remember seeing God answer prayer, you know, my life, you know, and there was another individual, you know, who was praying for the same thing, or, you know, saw the situation. And I was praying out of just genuine belief, like, God, I straight up believe you can do this. I just know you can, and I know you can do it. And so would you do that? And God answered the prayer. And this older believer had said, and I said, that I, you know, that was an answered prayer. Like, I straight up prayed every ounce of faith that I had in that prayer. And this older believer said, that's probably just a coincidence. The older believer said, yeah, it's probably just a coincidence. And that was like a rub to me. Like, I, you know, I was young in my faith. I was angry at what that person had said, and it just showed, you know, I remember talking to other older believers who said, I used to have this fervor for God. I used to go to youth camps and get excited and, you know, get all excited for God, but don't worry, over time you'll see. It'll just kind of that's sad. That's when you get to that point of like, you don't believe that God is able or desires. See, I like the words that you're using for like hovering, right? Soothing, desiring life in your life. There's a lot of believers who just don't believe that. And it's funny because now I'm going to get it. Like, I've been thinking all week about like what the Spirit wants me to preach on next Sunday. And one of those things was the possibility of preaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I think the like first application even is, do we truly believe? Like, do we actually believe that the Holy Spirit is living in us and desires to change us and make us more like Christ and desires to give us life in abundance? Do we actually believe that? I think there's a lot of believers that don't really believe that. You know? I just don't think that there's a belief of that. Like God wants to do an amazing thing in my life? Nah. My life's been the same for like, you know, the last like 3 years. Nothing's changing. My life sucks in these certain areas. No, not really. I don't think he does want to do anything.
And it looks like this, right?
It looks like the black part. Yeah.
It's, and that's why it does look like the black part. It looks like it's lifeless. And we mentioned last week the design of miracles. The whole design of God's miracles is to bring, I don't know if you guys remember, one of the reasons is to bring redemption. It's always to redeem something. It's always to bring back something. It's not just our spiritual life, our salvation. It's other things, our life, our well-being. It's always to bring something new. So, Janet, I saw you. Did you want to share something? I saw your mic go off earlier, but I just want to give you the chance if you wanted to share.
No, I just wanted to agree on Pastor Alex. It's like we can pray, but sometimes we pray it thinking that it might be of use, but not really believing it will happen.
Right. Yeah. That was one of our definitions last week. What's a miracle? Well, something most likely won't happen. Okay, why are we studying it, right? But I get that. Because certain things in life, we live in a physical world, certain things in life have been dead for so long or wounded for so long that it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. So, and to your point, most of us, you know, I'm there in certain areas, you kind of resolve saying it's probably never going to change.
Right.
And live with it. You settle.
That's right? Like deadness propagating deadness.
That's like
deadness going, like that's a sad faith actually, right? Not to say you, right? But that's like deadness propagates deadness then, right? You're just, what are we really believing?
Right. So that's a real, this is the real struggle that we have as people, right? As not just believers, everybody, but for believers, we actually do have hope. But we do feel the same hopelessness from time to time. It's true. And that's what God is, his word is transforming us, because we do have hopelessness. Otherwise, we don't need this. Yeah. Did someone have a question?
Yeah. I mean, Pastor Alex, you're saying, oh, that's like phase one to even just have faith in the beginning. When I reflect that for myself, I don't know that that's the area that I struggle with when it comes to miracles. I think for me, it's, I don't know, maybe it's phase two or phase whatever, but I believe that God is able. I believe he wants to. Like, I understand his heart. And I know that whatever he works on is going to be better than what I have. So I believe, and I want it. I'm like, I ask for it. But I think my problem is control over how he does it, what the outcome is going to look like.
when he does it, on basically it's like there's still a part of me that wants it on my terms. And that's where the, I think, the contention is for me. It's not the faith believing and wanting part for me. It's the, like, okay, God, like, here's an area you can work on, but wait, 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 it's a little sensitive over here, so don't do that yet. You know, so I kind of meddle in how he wants to, because it is a little scary, and if you will call it, like, kind of unknown on, if I say, God, have your way, and literally 100% open it up, like, I'm a little bit afraid of what he's going to take away or what he's going to change, even though I know that in the back of my head, it's going to be better. But it's like, I don't know why. It's, I guess it's that human sinful part where it's like, I still want control. I still want to pace it, you know? And so, yeah, I think for me, it's, I don't know, at least I think I'm kind of beyond the, do I believe for it part. It's the control part for me. And I think that's where God's like, all right, do you want me to do this or not? I'm like, yes, but wait, you know.
So I'll take that part back.
Yeah, it's like, well, yes, but not that part, you know.
So. Well, I think partly, I don't know if it's true for you, but it's like sometimes, I think I'm like, yeah, I believe, but I want to control that. I don't want it to hurt.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want God to go. Right?
Yeah.
Only get make it better. Not
right. I don't want
hate.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. The reason I don't want to trust you completely, God, because I don't want to go through the pain and suffering.
Yeah, exactly.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like when we talk about dead and dead spreading dead, it's like gangrenous toes. Like you have to cut it off.
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh, man.
I show my girls. I didn't know what gangrenous. So I googled it. I
Oh no.
I'm like, oh, you know, but like
yeah, cut it off.
You gotta cut it off.
Cut
right?
It, off.
It hurts. Like
I know. I wouldn't know. I've seen a lot of movies like that. Yeah.
I think there's also this kind of like letting God be the architect of it in the end. It's because I realize that when I pray for something, I have a very specific picture
right.
of what that might look like.
Or
and
process,
I think, yeah, where I think, oh, this is the grandest thing that I could think of, and I'm going to ask for it. God's like, that's still very, like, so tiny. And so for me to open it up and be like, God, do whatever you want in this situation or in this area, again, I kind of do pray that, but still in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm hoping that it'll look like something
right.
like this over
right.
here, you know? So again, it's a very like limiting God to my imaginative capacity, to my comfort level, to, you know, those kind of things. And so I think those are the reasons why miracles don't always happen, because not because I don't believe, but because I have that tension, contention with God.
Is that the tension that you were, because I remember you asking me that, like, is there a tension? I forgot the context of the question, but you asked, is there a tension? So is this the tension you're talking about? Like, it's what God wants and what we want.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That, of course. Yeah,
that
there's
the
that tension. There's, when you just address two levels of tension,
mm-hmm.
one is, I don't even have the faith for it. I'm so hopeless right now. I don't even have the faith, right? And I've been there. And I had a friend who just says, if you can't pray, you don't have faith to pray for it, just sing.
Just what?
Just pray.
Yeah, just sing.
Just sing about God.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't change. He doesn't change, right? So I'm like, I don't know, people just pray. No, I don't want to pray. I can't pray. I don't have faith to pray.
Yes.
You know, just praise. Praise until you get to a point you can have faith to pray. I'm like, oh, that helped. Because I don't feel like praying today. I don't even feel like singing, but at least I can sing. I have the ability to sing, but I really didn't have the ability to have faith in praying because I didn't believe it. Right? And then the second tension is what Rebs is just talking about, where I have the faith, but I want God to do what he's famous for. Like, just make it happen.
Right? Stop that song this morning.
Yeah,
it came up on a cross when we stopped the song.
Nah, it's just my Bluetooth on when I heard it. I'm like, oh.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I told you. I'm sure the guys who wrote the song didn't intend for that. You know.
Abby started singing it. I'm like, oh, we can't sing that.
Yeah.
Teacher Frank said we can't sing this.
But I want to do it my way because I don't want pain my way. I just want you to be a genie and fix it. And that's the other tension of God's way, our way.
I was thinking about that tension question, right? Because my response I felt was a knee-jerk response. And I remember I kept replaying it and I said, why is there tension? That's all because God doesn't provide me with miracles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized maybe there's something off with that statement that I said. So I camped on that this week. I kept thinking about it. What I came up with was, you know, in relation to the first three verses of Genesis, right? On tension, like, why did you bring that up in these three verses? So I started thinking, we're talking about creation, right? And then I started thinking, well, why is there tension there, right? So I thought, I just lost my train of thought. Sorry.
That's okay. Sorry. That's so wrong. But yes, the tension is really what drives the turmoil within within our mind. Right?
So,
yeah.
Well, then I thought, oh, what is that tension? Then it's the tension of, you know, between me and God, that, you know, does God really exist?
Mm.
Right? Like, and then through his creation, that is the proof of his existence.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's kind of where, I don't know if that's sort of correct, or the right way of thinking, but that's where my process was, right?
So when we feel that hopelessness, sometimes we even doubt God's existence,
right? Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, and then his word here actually gets back to the basics, that even when we get to that point, God is saying, I do exist because I'm the one who brought new things. I'm the one who created new things out of nothing, right? Not only just for the world, but for your personal situation too.
It's not working.
Can I
just add to that? It's like you brought up something like the proof of God is his creation, right? And like the proof of the Holy Spirit working in our lives is like our changed lives,
mm-hmm.
right? It proves that God exists. He's all powerful creator. It proves that our changed lives is proof that the Holy Spirit exists and like he's powerful and can do miracles.
It's growth. It proves, just like once God hovered over the darkness and trees grew, animals existed, you know, separated the sky, right? The stars and the moon, it proves that God exists. And then the spirit in us proves God is doing something.
Can I go off of what Arthur said? I think that was a good, really good point. Right? Like, why don't, like Pastor John said, like, believes a lot of believers, there's no traction or no movement, right? Or like areas that are dead, right? Is it because like they know about salvation and they stop there, right? This gospel is salvation. But what about the rest of it? All the other blessings in the other areas of life? And when they don't see it, is it because also they're not even experiencing transformation in their own life? They haven't experienced it. You know? So it just stops there. You know, it just stops. Because they haven't, or what would you say, like they haven't encountered the Spirit or encountered Jesus personally. They know they know about salvation, but they don't know, there's just so much more, right? But that's all they've experienced, and that's all they know right now. It's just, oh, the saving gospel.
But I'm saved, but I'm not experiencing.
I'm not experiencing anything, and I haven't seen any transformation in my life.
No newness.
No newness, exactly. No refreshing, no renewal. I'm just here. But I'm saved.
Yeah, that sucks.
It sucks, right? Yeah, and then, so I think, when he said transformation in your life, it's just like, you look back and reflect, wow, is God real in my life? How do I tell? Has there been transformation in my life? Have I been changed?
That's a hard question to answer why they stopped there. But even that, I would say it's God's timing too. When the Spirit decides to move. Of course, this our part too. Yeah, we want to desire God. But what if we don't desire God, right? And when do you encounter God? I didn't intend for this comment to answer your question, but Spirit's leading, right? But most of the time, when people do experience the encounter God, is when they're in a mess. That's when the encounter comes. So if your life's been peachy, praise the Lord. But it's not always going to be. If it's not now, it's later.
Right? That's encouraging.
Yeah, that's encouraging. Because the Bible says it. I didn't say it. In life, we shall have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, right? Because I have overcome the world. So that's why this priest, this Catholic priest, I think he made a good statement. At times, we feel our lives are a mess. There is no light, and we are floating around about like a cork lost at sea. We try to fight it to no avail. We try to flee, but there is no exit. What do? We fall on our knees and ask the Holy Spirit to hover over our mess, to embrace it lovingly and prepare it for the light of God's Word. Well, that was a... Because he said this in lieu of trying to explain that in other civilizations, the myth of creation, chaos is always the enemy, and you want to conquer it and be done with it, and sweep it under the rug, right? You want to conquer it. But in the biblical context, God always finds the mess. He wants the chaos, so he can redeem it to himself. Which is why those who haven't experienced, God uses those times, those chaotic times, to encounter them so that he can experience them. And I think that's true. Many times in my life, it's when I'm in a mess that I encounter God a lot more. I wish it was painless. But it's when I have the gangrene that God shows up. Yeah. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The word of God brings light, encounters darkness. We all know John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the third party of the Trinity that comes into the picture in that chaos. He introduces basically himself into your situation. His word offers hope, is able to launch change, physical and spiritual, into your situation. So what do we do when we're hope, who feel hopeless, his word actually has power. Just by hearing it and reading it actually does something. I can't explain it, but actually does something because the words itself, just by reading it, hearing it, does something to us. Because it did something up here, God's word. Actually, as we read, obviously, in 4 and 5, when God speaks things into existence.
Not for me. Not for me.
I think it's just interesting to see God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus all present in a hopeless situation. And that's how they play a role in our lives when we feel hopeless. Father can bring something new. Have faith in that. He can bring something brand new. The Spirit is the one that comes and mothers you during this process. And Jesus is the one that actually brings the word. His word is the one that he introduces himself, and that's who you can encounter face to face in a hopeless situation. Usually in your mess.
To say something about that. So my personal experience is, well, you know, I know in my head God is always there. With me, right? And then knowing that, I feel like, oh man, God is, I know in my head, theoretically, God is there, right? But when I don't feel like he's there, like I only, like, I, when there's like a mess in my life, then I go to him, then I experience him, right? But that doesn't makes sense to me, right? Because I know God is always there, right? Even if I'm like, you know, really happy, good things are happening, I know God is there. In my darkness, I know God is there. So I think for me, it just, you know, I guess I'm just sharing my faith, the struggles in my faith is that I know God is there all the time, but sometimes a lot of times I don't feel like he is there.
Yeah. You guys feel the same way? You don't feel like he's there. Yeah. Feelings speaks to me a lot. Because I don't feel. Yeah. I don't feel. What happens then when you don't feel that he's there?
Go to your own ways.
Oh, when you don't feel his, yeah, so you just go your own ways.
Yeah, because when you, you know, when you're like down or you're in a struggle, you don't feel God's there, the natural inclination is not to run to him. Is to
run away.
Know what you're comfortable with, know what you know, right? And then you use your own methods or ways to solve the problem.
Yes.
And then it's, and then you make a bigger mess.
You make a bigger mess. Until you're at a mess where you can't fight it anymore.
Right. Yep.
That's the human tragedy. But also God's redemption, right? Because that's when God comes in.
You know, I actually heard an analogy where it's like driving when you're on your own, right? And it's like driving on a one-way street. You know, and the cars are coming towards you. It's like, man, I made that wrong turn off by myself, you know? And then all these cars are just coming towards you, right? Until the Lord guides you back. And he's dodging the cars for you once you acknowledge that, oh, I need to turn to God.
Yeah.
And he's guiding you back to a two-way street.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I can see that that's where the Holy Spirit comes into. He's kind of protecting you, right?
Yeah.
During that process until you return. Yeah?
I thought about, what was bringing up was like the head knowledge, the tension between the head knowledge versus the heart and the experiential, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, a lot of times I picture like God the Father, like he's concrete, right? I can like picture that, and I know in my head God created everything. And Jesus allows us to see what we can relate to Jesus, right? So we talk about
mm-hmm.
God the Father and Jesus, and it's easier for us in church to talk about, right?
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is much harder to talk about because it's like, it has to do with our experiences, like on a day-to-day basis. We can talk about it, but it's just harder. It's not so concrete. It's not a theological thing you can, well, you can, but it's just the difference between head and like feel, you know, heart is like, I don't know. I don't know if that's correct to divide it that way. So just ignore that. But that's just, you know.
Well, no, that's. I think that goes into the inviting part, right? I think, yes, when you don't feel it, that's the whole point. You can't manufacture that feeling. You ask the Holy Spirit. You find ways to be in a space where you invite him, whether, you know, doesn't matter the time or place. You're just actually inviting him, like you do something when you can't, when you yourself can't. He says, you do something, show me. And he does answer, not the way you like it or on your own time. But that's the whole point, is that you invite him. I want to feel you, because nobody is able to help you feel God except the Holy Spirit, truly, right? You ask him, say, I want to feel, and I actually did ask God, I said, I don't feel you. I want to feel what it's like to be with you. Yeah, you can ask him that.
I think at first that we have to trust, well, it's probably because I'm an engineer, that you will think that you have to trust the design, such as like a car.
Mm.
I trust this car is going to take me to different places. But there's a limitations of this car, and there's a reason why there's a limitation of this car. Yes, you can go press all the way down to the gas pedal, get you 100 miles, and then you get to point A to point B in 2 seconds. But are you going to do that? And yes, you can, but what will cost you from going point A and point B with that speed? There's a lot, you have to be careful about people, you have to be, there's a certain, a lot of things that require in order for you to do that, but it's capable. But are you, see, if you trust this design, then you need to follow the limits. You need to follow the criteria. It is for our own good, such as what God said, that everything, God's work is for us, and because we love Him, and because when we love Him, we understand why He is putting all this limitation for us. So I think first that we have to trust this design. We have to love them, believe this is what God's design. And yes, things might not go the way that we want, but are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we following what God's rule?
Yeah.
And when we follow God's rule, it's not our way, it's His way.
Thank you for sharing. And that's kind of what Rebs was saying too earlier, you surrender, right?
Yes.
That's the hardest part, as I believe, but surrendering to God's ways completely is the other tension. Trusting.
Yeah. I think Pastor Ellis talked about that all those people, oh yeah, they believe. And then they felt like they don't really actually believe the Holy Spirit to lead them to what they want. And because they're not willing to let go themselves.
Yeah.
And are you willing to let the Holy Spirit in you to correct you, to change you, to help you through the way?
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, it's real, right? When just believe God can do new things.
Yeah.
Believe. Same time, surrender yourself to the Spirit and how He does it.
Yeah.
It's a twofold thing, but we don't, you know, I think don't give up. Don't give up. Keep increasing your faith in Jesus. Keep believing.
I went to a church meeting yesterday for a reason. And that church was my girlfriend's church. And I did not feel comfortable afterwards. And then the reason behind that, they very into Holy Spirit. And it's like, something is fishy there. And there's nothing wrong to rely on the Holy Spirit, but are we allowing the Holy Spirit to help work through us instead of work through other people to work through us? And I think that make me feel like there's something fishy about this church. So I have to be careful, and that's why the Bible says that we need to believe, and we need to read the Bible to help us to understand what is God's way, not human's way.
Yes. That's why all three are present in the situation. Okay. All right. I know. I'm sorry for you guys. You guys studying, if you need to go to children's Sunday school, children's worship. Sorry, I went a little bit over. But Maple, can you close us in prayer?
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
My Heavenly Father, thank you that we have a Sunday school right here to help us to get us to know you more, to know you better, to know you what is the way that you want us to grow in, and to know you how the Holy Spirit will lead each one of us to help us to understand who you are, and starting from the creations, and everything start from the beginning, how you will help us through all the darkness in our life and all the troubles in our life, Lord, and willing to let go of ourselves but completely surrender to you, Lord. Continue to help us to love you more and rely on you more, Lord, so that we can just stay there with you.